Gotcha.
Your owner was in pants. How are you today?
Hi. Okay, good afternoon. My goodness, the session hasn't left. It's good to see you all. I guess that you're here to ask a few questions about something in particular. Anyway, we're just here to answer any questions you have.
Would you describe your philosophy about the tax plan and what it would do for the average taxpayer, property taxpayer?
The philosophy that we've had in mind and have articulated many, many times is the control on the future growth of property taxes. Something that citizens of Oregon can depend on, can maybe budget for, a control that they can feel they can manage. It was the real problem that I had with the legislative tax plan. They gave immediate property tax relief, and you will note we concur with that. The fact is, though, and the important element is future control of property taxes. That's where the legislature and I disagreed. What this does is control the future growth of property taxes, and yet at the same time gives, I think, the kind of flexibility, and you will note that there are varying rates in growing districts, and I think it's a good marriage. It takes care of the situation as it is today, but does protect the property taxpayer.
Governor, at the following session, you mentioned that you would probably sit down with Ray Phillips, with, I suppose, Mr. Stanford or Alva Moser or others that had the 1% thing, and did you? I don't see it reflected in here, and I wonder if you have and what their views are of what you come up with.
Yes, we did. And we talked with them, gave them what we were thinking about. I would say to you fairly that at least at the moment, they are not willing to join with us and are proceeding on their own petition.
You're talking about Mr. Phillips?
About Mr. Phillips, correct. There have been some others, and we've talked to them. And as you know, we've talked to a series of legislators, not only those that are sponsors, but those whom we thought might be interested in the plan, worked out the details. But directly, yes, we talked to them. Also directly, at least at the moment, they are not prepared to join with us.
Governor, Senator Powell, just before Peter Applegate rescinded his effort, Senator Powell was asked about this type of a thing happening, and it was his assumption that Oregonians are going to want the opportunity to deal with a tax package that was put out by the legislature. Do you still hold to what you said all during the session, that you are convinced you know what's in the minds of Oregonians and they're going to buy yours before they're going to buy the other one?
Well, before, of course, it's going to quite work out because the legislature's plan is going to come up before this one will, just merely because all initiatives have to go in the November election. Yes, I still think that I had a feeling of what Oregonians were crying for, and it was some kind of a certainty in their taxation. This gives them the certainty that they're looking for at the same time without crushing local government. And I believe that this is what they will find very acceptable.
Governor, if Mr. Phillips and his people are out, who's going to circulate the petitions for it?
Oh, well, we have volunteers just like he does as well. He's doing some of it himself, and I'll carry with it, you know, within time that I have petitions, but we have volunteers that are willing to work for us, and we'll just build an organization. We can do that.
Where are you going to build them from?
From? Oh, my goodness. You see a list of supporters here, and they have friends. I have friends. I've received a lot of names and phone calls of people that have indicated that they are interested in helping us, and we put that in the file, and we will call them up and, just build it.
I guess what I'm trying to say, in the past, legislators who had a big issue have been notoriously unsuccessful in getting their wishes on the ballot. The last big go-round was the public employee collective bargaining law, as you know.
You had to bring that up, didn't you?
I had to bring that up.
That was...
From what kinds of groups are you going to solicit your volunteer help?
What kinds? I'm not sure how you're asking.
Campaign workers.
Oh yes, gloves. Yes, all of those and any others. That's, I guess, where I'm having trouble trying to define what you're really trying to ask me, Russ. Just like when a candidate goes out, he tries to find support and those that are interested. We have a base to start from, a base of my friends, a base of these the legislators' friends. We will ask someone to be a secretary or a campaign manager, if you will. We do have an honorary chairman, as you know, and we'll just build the organization. I don't think there's a shortage of potential people to help us on the petition.
Did you miss a real bet by not having this prepared for the county fairs for circulation there?
Yes, that was one thing that would have been extremely helpful to us. However, we don't consider that a loss. There's enough broad-based interest in this kind of a plan that I don't think we'll have any trouble at all, both in getting volunteers to help us or the signatures to put it on the ballot.
Are you going to rely very heavily, Governor, on your former campaign staff, the volunteers and so forth in the gubernatorial campaign?
At least not necessarily staff, but certainly there are those that I know out in the counties that are very supportive of what I've been doing. And that is in terms of taxation, and we've got a lot of places that we can touch base with, and people that we can get to. This is a lot easier, for example, in the last effort that Mr. Sadler described. This is going to be much easier.
Governor, how do you plan to finance this petition drive?
We'll ask for money to fundraising effort to get money for it. We'll form a campaign committee and then ask for donations to
it. Do you have
it.
Any idea how much it will cost?
No, the cost of printing and all, I haven't developed a budget, but I think, as we've just thought about it in the past, something like 30,000, 40,000, maybe 50,000, something like that.
Governor, yeah. Your plan may indeed assure a higher degree of certainty on an average, but I don't think the individual taxpayer is particularly concerned about averages. He wants to know what's going to happen to the property taxes that he pays, and because there is a pretty wide range of in individual assessment increases, how does your plan really assure any more certainty to the individual taxpayer?
Well, it's certainly at least the certainty that's in the legislature's tax plan, because theirs is an average as well. We think ours is a refinement on that average, and we believe the average is appropriate. Basically, the average is appropriate in the sense that, let me put it in two ways, one of which, there may be some property that is too low, and we have to allow for that moving up so it's fair between your house and my house. And I think that's important. On the plus side for us, however, and that's where the growth factor comes in, is that you'll be able to average in growth, which will help me. In other words, I may get bumped because assessor had missed me or I hadn't been up to the snuff, and yet on the other hand, all of us as taxpayer benefit by growth that's added into it. So the average really is about as good a device, at least as good a device as I can see, to help us. Now, there's going to be some difference, but certainly it's not going to be anywhere near like what's happened to some taxpayers. And some taxpayers have been, their assessed values have doubled, trebled, and even some more than that. That's going to stop that kind of practice.
Normally, the signature, Governor, you have to have to get it on the ballot.
60, well, the figure is 54,000. We figure we need to get about 62 or 3,000 to make sure we've got valid signatures.
Can you do it in time allotted?
Oh, yes. Yes, we've got plenty.
The Harris poll shows, I think Harris's conclusion was that the Proposition 13 fever had died down. Do you really expect people to be knocking on your door to pass these petitions with the kind of intensity and numbers that they had for ballot measure 6, 210,000 in less than 6 months?
No, I don't think it'll be the same kind of pell-mell rush for signatures that 13 had. I think what we talk about Proposition 13, the hysteria for just anything, I think, has died down. And Proposition 13 was just anything, and we could see really how that kind of an effort is not really productive at all. However, that does not mean to say that Oregonians, for example, are just willing to let things continue as they are. I don't think they want to, and there's been enough discussion now in Oregon, and will continue for what will be over a two-year period of time, that they've been able to separate the wheat from the chaff, and I think they'll be able to now when we talk to them, whether it's the legislature on their plan or our on ours or Phillips on his, they'll be able to discern what the differences are. That will be new language to them.
Are you implying that even with the legislature's reform bill that things are just going on as they are?
Things are what?
Are you implying that even
You mean with theirs?
Oh. Tax plan, that things are just going on as they are?
No. That's why you talked about the Proposition 13 fever, and I'm saying to you that the fever for just anything has passed. However, the tax plan certainly is an address, a step in the right direction. And I'll have to repeat again what I feel very strongly, that if it hadn't been for a continuing insistence upon my own, that we wouldn't have gotten as far with the legislature's tax plan as we did. And I'm very grateful that the legislature at least addressed the matter of assessed value, which they did. I'm just saying the other end of the pipe is still open. They don't happen to agree. And I want to plug the other end of the pipe. That's the basic difference between my plan and theirs in any event.
Governor, this morning during the briefing, much was made about a lot of questioning about what would happen in an emergency and a district faced with an immediate emergency with the election process as it was set up during a primary campaign. Could you speak to that whole problem, please?
Yes, I became aware of the emergency question. And then I think about under the present circumstance and what's happened and what kind of emergencies are we talking about. I don't know of any emergency action by local government that I'm aware of, at least in recent years, of the kinds of described. It is more difficult. I think, however, if there what we call a true emergency of some kind, and it wouldn't be a burning building or anything like that, because that's not changed whether it's this system or the present system, that maybe a loan by the taxing district or whatever it might be to get them by that period of time. I don't see the emergency. It's an argument. It's one that might possibly happen somewhere way down the trail sometime. But I don't see that as foreclosing any opportunities of local government to survive. I don't think anyone wants to kill local government. And I don't think it will allow it to happen.
To follow up that question, Lee Johnson told us this morning that the program substitutes local voter control with local government control, and that the excess levy elections are a sham because only a maximum of 14% of the voters turn out for those elections. Do you agree with that, and what's your feeling about local control of the issue?
First, let me talk to the number of turnouts, because it's bothered me, as I think it has members of the media and many other interested citizens. And I really believe that the reduced turnout has been, for what I described among many, many people, a sense of, oh, what's the use? Now, that's been growing. When we talk about low voter turnout, we cannot overlook general elections and primary elections, in which we see voter turnout becoming less and less all the time. And I've described that as, oh, what's the use? Why go to the polls? Nothing's going to change. And it's one of the real reasons that I hope that out of my administration there's going to be a new feeling of there is a reason to go out, there is hope, there is a government listening to us, and we can start moving in that direction of people feeling that there is a use. It may even be that with the legislature's plan and my refinement on it, might even give the people a greater sense that there is a use and people are listening to what's going on. And so I think that over the long haul, this is going to really address the, oh, what's the use attitude that we have out there, and I know it's there.
But do you think the local control issue is going to be the major point of contention?
No. Well, I shouldn't say no. I think the issue is going to be whoever wants to make it. However, I really query local control. What is local control in that sense? What does that mean? Usually, it's converted to an election. In other words, there is no local control unless you have a chance to vote on it. We have allowed a chance to vote on it. Now the question then comes down, having I said that to you, what then constitutes local control? One election? Two elections? Five elections? Seven elections? And at what point do you have local control versus what point you don't? And so if that becomes an issue of local control, then we've allowed it by an election. Now, yes, it's true, primary or general election. So that's one vote every 2 years. Is that local control? I think any time you give the voters a chance to vote, that's local control.
But do you agree that excess levy elections are a sham?
I'm not sure I would use exactly the same words. And we worry about it. Oftentimes, I think it's even described as such. elections are elections, no matter how many people turn out. I may regret that a low number turn out. I wish more would turn out. I'm not sure I'd use the same terminology.
Your executive assistant seems a good deal more passionate on this point than you do, that these elections are a sham and that there are a number of people who don't turn out. And
well, I tell you,
the ball on this particular point, or do you feel fairly strong?
Lee and I will debate things from time to time, but you're asking me, the governor of Oregon, I'm giving you my opinion. And I think that I wish they were more. I wish more people would turn out. But you see, maybe if the word sham is a correct one, maybe a subjective word to describe the elective process at the present time. I think the thing that's even more regretful is the one I described to you, that great attitude out there, well, what's the use? And that's why people don't turn out.
I'm wondering if you're really giving the voters an opportunity at all. One of the consistent arguments used against new tax bases is that you're voting yourself out of the right to vote on the budget, the levy, but the budget annually. And if they update the tax base and then they start living within the tax base, if they're not one of these hell-bent growth districts, the voters have just voted themselves right out of the spot. Whereas if you vote for an excess levy, you come around again the next year. I'm wondering whether, in fact, this is really an alternative for voting.
No, I don't think so. Really, if you look at it, the agencies of government that have been going to elections are school districts. Cities and counties and fire districts and water districts and, you know, all a variety of districts, very few of them go out for excess levies. Very few of them exceed 6%, and I don't really see where anyone's complaining over that fact. So then if we're boiling it down to what we're talking about, is that we want control over school districts and what they spend. However, if it's a controlled growth, in other words, a protection which has been in the Oregon Constitution, and that, of course, still applies in regard to even our initiative petition, that is what Oregonians have said historically. If you live within that, you don't have to come to us. And so I don't think we've really changed anything dramatically.
Governor, could you give your rationale briefly on the decision to go with property tax rate freeze, you know, assessment limitation for both business and commercial property, and semicolon did AOI ask you to go?
What was the last of it?
Did AOI ask you to go that route?
No, I've had no conversation with AOI.
I see Gary Stanley.
Oh.
Governor, given the similarity between...
Did you want to...
I would like an
you
answer.
You want an answer, I thought,
yes.
I was waiting. there's a great deal of confusion when we start making the splits and the separations, and I believe that... you're specific, ask me your question again. I got lost in your last...
Why did you choose to go... or a freeze on property tax rates and imposing assessment on both business and residential when the legislature's total thrust throughout the session was toward a home on our own.
Initially, as you know, I made some separation in terms of the rate, but my first recommendation, as you may recall, was a reduced rate for homeowners and a uniform rate for, in other words, as it is in this bill, for business. We had heard the objections of the complexities by the Oregon legislature and exceed, really, that there's no need to add another complexity to it. They'll all be treated uniformly, I believe, and that the uniform rates on all property probably was the fairest way to go. That's why we arrived at what we did. It's just a matter of looking at what we've done before and see what problems might exist. This administratively would work out much better, and I think serve everybody better.
Given the similarities between this and what you're proposing, when the legislature was in session, why did it take you 3 months to come up with this initiative?
Well, it didn't take us 3 months to come up with it. We looked at it, understand that I was busy, as you probably know, for almost a month after the legislature left, dealing with the debris of the legislature, and that wasn't a fair word, was it? No, left with the bills from the last legislature, and I think appropriately they would expect us to give as much attention to that as we could. We looked at what we wanted to initiate. We discussed it. We, as you noticed, some exceptions, tried to refine it. By that time, it became more difficult because legislators whom we wanted to contact had gone. Some of them had gone on vacation. You know, just now then became a matter of getting back and forth to them to get their signatures. At the same time, trying to find the various groups that wanted to initiate a petition and talk to them. And many of them had gone on vacation or they had to go to boards or, you know, it just took time. We didn't wait. This has been working, sometimes more diligently than other times, but it hasn't been waiting. We didn't have it all done and now waited to drop it on you. It's been in the process all the time.
Governor, do you oppose the 1% limitation?
Yes. You mean the one that's being initiated? Yes.
Why?
Well, I didn't support, as you remember, the ballot 6. I supported the principle, but I had made some variations of it myself. And it's not my intention, and one of the difficult things I had even during the Oregon legislative session was to convince everybody that basically what I'm talking about is controlling future growth property taxes, and that I had no interest in cutting back on existing taxes. We looked at some of the largest school districts in the state of Oregon under the 1%, and they would lose up to a third of their present budget. That's not our intention to cut back. Our intention is to control the future growth.
Governor, you have a few, if any, of the Portland Democrats on your initiative or any of the so-called liberals. Did you contact them to try to get their backing?
I can't recall in terms of what you would call the Portland liberals. I do
know members
of the Portland legislative delegation.
I know we tried to communicate. I'm not sure we communicated.
Didn't try with all of them. Some of them we did. Some of them indicated they did not want to sign. Some of them indicated that while they were supporting, they didn't feel they wanted to be sponsored.
I'm looking to Lee because I talked to some and he talked to some and within the time we had, so I had to make sure that.
Does this mean your plans fly again?
Yes, sir.
Governor,
resuscitation.
Do you see any possibility of a repeat of 6 and 11 with the vote being divided between your plan, legislative plan, maybe 1.5%?
No. Actually, if I understand them, we're about the same, generally the same format. It's the matter of numbers. And so it isn't about going one way or a different way. See, 6 went. 6 and 11 went two different ways to accomplish the same goal. Also eliminated from it is that matter of this is the legislature's plan and this is the people's plan. Eliminates all that. All of these will be the people's plan, and they'll have a chance to make the distinction. The distinctions are the same. The objective is the same. We'll be able to draw the differences between this and, let's say, a 1%. That'll be very clear. I don't think there'll be any confusion on people's mind.
Now, if yours is on and the 1% is on and the 1% is a constitutional amendment, it passes and yours passes, you're down the drain, the legislature's down the drain, and the 1% doesn't.
That's right. That's exactly. But let's make another scenario that mine is not on the ballot and the 1% is, and it passes. That still would be true.
Do you expect to split that vote then?
Split the 1%
vote? Do you feel this plan is a place for people to come home who may not want the 1% but want something more than the legislature offered?
Oh, sure. Well, I'm not. See, you understand, I'm putting this on the ballot because I believe in this. I'm not putting this on the ballot for any other scenario at all. I'm not here to stop us, a 6. I'm not here to stop the legislature's plan. I'm here because I'm saying to Oregonians, this is the way we ought to go. So that's the only motive that's involved in the petition.
Thank you.
Thank you. tells you where I'm at.
Except I feel like it tells your spirit to you, yeah.
Yeah, it felt like maybe some introductions.
I think diesel is included in this report. I read many things last night. That was one of them.
Governor, do you feel that the Conference Committee on Tax Relief pulled some sort of coup yesterday without using your name and discussing some of your concepts, putting them aside, rejecting?
Oh, I don't know if coup is the right word. I'm not sure they're totally locked in, and I haven't been on Conference Committee myself. Realize that until the last moment, things can still change. I know they made some policy decisions with which I don't agree, and you've heard me say that. I mean, the policies that they're dealing with. We are making a recommendation to the committee very shortly. A statement of mine will be read by Lee Johnson, giving the specifics of my own views on what I think ought to happen. It's very moderate, I might add, statement, but very clear also, I might add. Thank you very much. Yes.
I don't expect that report until about noon tomorrow, so if you want to send all the trips to my office, I'll crank it as soon as possible.
That was 5 o'clock tonight, Benny?
Yeah, I don't want phone calls all night long.
I'll call at 5 o'clock. Go ahead.
I'm sure. done, and things are done, and you try to always do this, and then you speak it up here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's nice. 8 feet.